All right, we're going to start here, five lines down on the top of Samach Aleph Amud Bet. Just before we start, with just a quick review of what we saw yesterday, even though the Gemara today starts a totally new topic. But we just finished off yesterday with the discussion about when the Mizbeach is Nifgam, when the Mizbeach has some sort of damage or problem with it, what type of impact that does that have on the ability to eat Kodoshim. We brought a proof from the Pasuk about the Sheri HaMincha. Gemara added in that Kodshei Kodoshim have the same din because it says Kodshei Kodesh Kodoshim Ho. And then Rabbi wanted to bring a proof from Rabbi Yossi's quoting of Rabbi Yishmael that the same was true by Kodshim Kalim. That Kodshim Kalim also would be affected by a Mizbeach that was Nifgam or a Mizbeach that was out of place. He brought that from the Hekesh that we learned from Bechor to Meiser Sheni. And within Bechor we learned from the Basar, from the Dam. And just like the Dam requires Mizbeach, so too the Basar requires Mizbeach. And then we had a Hekesh to Maser Sheni that tells that a Mizbeach, Maser Sheni is disqualified. What you saw from that is that Bechor, without a Mizbeach, is problematic. Bechor is Kodshim Kalim, and the Mizbeach missing or being Nifgam disallowed or caused a problem for eating the Bechor. And obviously, Abai is assuming that Rabbi Yishmael's din is not solely applicable to Bechor. It's applicable to all Kodshim Kalim. They brought the member before Rabbi Yirmiyah and Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said that foolish Babylonians, don't you know that there's a steer in the Braitot? One Braitot seems to indicate when the Machaneh was moving, you were not allowed to eat Kodoshim. The other one seems to indicate that when the Machaneh is moving, you are allowed to eat Kodoshim. The solution proposed was Kodshei Kodoshim versus Kodshim Kalim. The Kodshei Kodoshim you cannot eat when the Machaneh is moving because the Mizbeach is out of place. But Kodshim Kalim, you could eat. And then that would discredit what Abaye said, or show that we're arguing on what Abaye said, that Kodshim Kalim are not affected by the movement of the Mizbeach. The Gemara then ended off and said, either Ha-Baha B'Kodshim Kalim, and it's not a question, it's a machloket Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbonon. Rabbi Shmuel believes that Bechor is paradigmatic in nature, and therefore when the Mizbeach is out of place, Kodshim Kalim cannot be eaten. On the other hand, the Rabbonon believe that whether they believe that Bechor is unique and is not applicable to other Kodshim Kalim, or they don't even think the limud by Bechor is correct because they don't subscribe to the Hekesh between the Basar and the Dam. For whatever reason, the Rabbanan disagree and say that it's not true. And so you have Rabbi Shmuel who thinks that it is that way, and the Rabbanan will think it's not that way, and the Rabbanan will be the authors of the Braita that say you can eat the Kodashim even when the Machaneh is moving. And Rabbi Shmuel will be the author of the Braita that says you can't eat when the Machaneh is moving. And then we had the other option, which is Zibaitema, Habahaba Kodshei Kodashim. They're both about Kodshei Kodashim. And Shnei Mekomot is not what we thought. One Makom was when they were at rest. The other Makom was when they were moving. But rather, there are three different stages. There's a stage in which the Machaneh is fully set up. The Mishkan is set up. Everything is there. There's another stage in which the Mishkan is gone, but the Mizbeach is still there. And there's a third stage where everything is moving. So that's the answer to the question, which is, the Shnei Mekomot, where it's kasher, is when the Machaneh is set up and the Mishkan is fully operational. The other Makom, where it's kasher, is even after the Mishkan is disassembled, but the Mizbeach is still there, it's still kasher. The third Makom, which is the first Braita, is a case where you have moved on and you are traveling. There the Kodshei Kodashim are disqualified because of the fact that the Mizbeach has moved, according to Rashi, according to the Baal Tosfot, both Mizbeach and the Kaleach Hatzer are moving. And then it's not dealing with Kodshei Kalim at all, and it's not addressing our issue, and maybe even not solely related to the issue of Mizbeach. And for that reason, you can't disprove or discredit what Abai said. So that's how we ended off yesterday. Now the Gemara says, we're going on the fifth line down on Samach Aleph Amud Bet, Amar Avon Amar Rav, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh Shel Avanim Haya. The Mizbeach in Shiloh was made out of stone. So as far as the Mizbeach in the Midbar, we know it's Mizbeach in the Choshet, because that is Mizbeach of Moshe, the Mizbeach of the Mishkan. As far as the Mizbeach of Shlomo, we know for certain that it was made out of Avanim. Question is, the Mizbeach of Shiloh, what was the status of that Mizbeach? Was that the Mizbeach in the Choshet of Moshe? Was that the Mizbeach of Avanim of Shlomo? Which type of Mizbeach was there in Shiloh? So Rav Huna says that the Mizbeach of Shiloh was made out of stones. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Batam Adomar. Why does the Torah mention Avanim three times? That is found by the Psukim that deal with the Mizbeach, one of which we've discussed already, which is at the end of Perek Chof in Sefer Shmot, at the end of Parshat Yitro. It says, V'imizbach avanim taseli, lo tibneh hen gazit, ki charbacha hen aftalah, v'techalaleha. There you have the mizbach avanim mentioned. If you go to Devarim, Chavzayin and Parshat Kitavo, there as well, it mentions the mizbach avanim, speaking about the tekes that they're going to put together at Har Gerizim and Har Eival when they cross over the Yordain. And there it says, uvanita sham mizbeach l'Hashem Elokecha, mizbeach avanim, lo tanif alehem barzel. And then again, avanim shleimot, tivnet mizbeach l'Hashem Elokecha, valita alav olot l'Hashem Elokecha. So there it's mentioned avanim twice with regards to the mizbeach. And so now the word avanim appears three times. He says, that teaches you, echad shel shiloh. One of them is described in the mizbeach of Shiloh that was avanim. Echad shel novi gibon. The other one is the bamak gedolah that was found in novi gibon, was also made out of avanim. Ubeit olamim means the beit hamikdash, or the mizbeach of Shlomo that was made out of avanim. Now even though novi gibon are two different locations, Rashi says that they count them as one because they function in the same way. They were not a mikdash. They were just a temporary location or a bamak gedolah. And since it had the same type of structure and halachic guideline, therefore they group them together as one, which is Novim Gibbon. So when B'nai Israel enter into the land of Israel, after the Kibbutz V'chiluk, Yoshua and Am Yisrael put the Mishkan in place in Shiloh, and it has trappings of the original Mishkan. They build a structure or foundation which holds the Mishkan, and then the Mishkan has an ohel over it. So it's a mixture between a permanent structure and ohel, that is Mishkan Shiloh. What they're saying now is that it also replaced the Mizbeach HaNechoshet and became a Mizbeach Avanim. Now if you did that, then after Shiloh is destroyed, and then Nob and Gibeon become areas where there's a Bama Gedolah, a central place of worship, we know of that because of both the visit of David to Nob, which eventually Shaul destroys, and over there it speaks about the fact that he got some of the Lechem HaPanim from the Kohanim, which he needed to eat because he was desperate for food. But over there you hear that there is an OL that has a Mizbeach in it, and it is functioning like a quasi-Mishkan. And then similarly, in Gibeon, we know later on that Shlomo HaMelech, before he builds the Mikdash, pays visit to Gibeon, and that's what we discussed last 2 days, that the Elef Korbanot that Shlomo HaMelech put on the Mizbeach over there, that was in the Mizbeach in Gibeon. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, starting in Shiloh, and then true in Novi Gibeon as well, and then in Shlomo's time, all those mizbechot were made out of avanim, and that is hinted to by the psukim in the Torah that mentioned the word avanim with regards to the mizbeach three times. Meiti Rav Acher Bami, is that really true what Rav Huna said, that the mizbeach of Shiloh was made out of stone? Don't we have the following braita? Eish yerada min ha-shamayim, bimei Moshe lo nistalka ha-mizbeach ha-nechoshet, ela bimei Shlomo. The eish that came down from the heaven and burnt up the korbanot on the mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, it did not leave the mizbeach and the choshet, meaning it was never quashed, ela bimei Shlomo, until the time of Shlomo Melech. And Rashi notes over here, brings the midrash, that even when they traveled, that the esh stayed on the mizbeach, put on, as Rashi says, a psach there, they had a cover for the mizbeach that kept the fire there, so when they put the argaman cover on it, it wouldn't catch fire, it wouldn't burn. Or there are other midrashim that it was crouching like an ari, and it was underneath the beged argaman, but that the esh remained on the mizbeach even when they traveled. But that is esh tamid, tukad al mizbeach. That esh tamid was there until the time of Shlomo Melech. Then, the time of Shlomo Melech, esh sheyada bimei Shlomo, lo nistalka hashba menashe v'silka. And with regards to the esh that descended from the heaven to consume the korbanot in the time of Shlomo, that remained on the mizbeach until the time of Menashe, and that is because we see by Menashe when he does or leads a tshuva movement that he rebuilds the Mizbeach at that time, implying that somehow he had destroyed it or done something to the Mizbeach. As it says in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Gimel, in this tshuva that is so much forced on Menashe, given what they had done, and then Hashem brings these difficulties and invading armies on them, and then vayitpalel alav vayitar lo vayishma tchinato vayishuveu yushalayim lemalchuto v'yidam minashe ki Hashem hu elokim. He realizes that Hashem, and then afterwards he starts to rebuild all the areas around Yerushalayim as well as the Mikdash itself. And over there it says in Pasuk, teva v'yasar et elohei anechar v'tasemo mi beit Hashem V'chol ha-mizbechot asher bana b'har beit Hashem yibirushalayim, v'yishleich chutz l'ir. Then in Pasuk Tetzayin it says, v'yichein et mizbach Hashem, v'yizbach alav zimchei shalmim et hoda, v'yom l'yudah l'avod et Hashem elokei Yisrael. So you see here that Menashe re-establishes or rebuilds the mizbeach, indicating that it was in disuse, either had been destroyed, or because of all the mizbechot avodah zarah, it had been taken out of service. That means that the Esh Min HaShemayim had stopped, and only once it's rebuilt does it go into service. So that's why there's an attribution of the stopping of the Esh Min HaShemayim to the time of Menasher, to Menasher HaMelech. Now, the reason you would say that the fire was there on the Mizbeach Moshe until the time of Shlomo is because the Mizbeach Nechoshet was functioning until the time of Shlomo, when Shlomo builds it into a permanent structure and puts it in Mizbeach Avanim. But that would imply that the Mizbeach Nechoshet of Moshe Rabbeinu was still functioning, both in Shiloh, as well as very possibly in Nov and Givon, that the Mizbeach was moved to those areas. So how can you suggest that it was a Mizbeach Amanim in Shiloh? My answer is, Huda Marka Rabbi Natan, that Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Natan. The truth is that Rav Huna could also hold like Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov. We have Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov also saying that there was a Mizbeach Amanim in Shiloh. So you bring me one bright from Seder Olam, and then you have another bright of Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov. So you can subscribe to Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov. The Gemara favors saying it's Rabbi Natan, because Rabbi Natan speaks specifically and directly towards the issue. And as Rashi notes over here, that Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov says that when he says Avanim, doesn't mean you have to make it a Mizbeach Avanim, but you are permitted to make it into Mizbeach Avanim. So you can't necessarily prove anything from Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov. So that's why he went to Rabbi Natan, who clearly makes the statement that the Mizbeach was a quote-unquote, Mizbeach Avanim, which it's a Tanya. Rabbi Natan Omer, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh, Shel Nechoshet Haya, Chalul Umalei Avanim. So that the Mizbeach in Shiloh was out of Nechoshet, but was hollow on the inside, and then filled with stones. And that's what it means, that it was a Mizbeach Avanim. Might also be the way to explain that Pasuk in Divrei Yamim that we saw yesterday. We saw there were two different interpretations. We saw that the Mizbeach and Nechoshet had the measurements of the Mizbeach of Shlomo, Mizbeach Avanim. So either you say that the word Mizbeach Nechoshet was a borrowed term to describe the Mizbeach Avanim, or you say something along the lines of what Rabbi Natan says here, which is that even in the time of Shlomo, it was plated with Nechoshet, but it was underlying it was a Mizbeach Avanim. The truth is that the position of Rabbi Natan doesn't necessarily have to disagree with the previous Braita, in the sense that it could have been that that was the Mizbeach of Moshe. And instead of filling it with earth, they filled it with Avanim. And truthfully, the Sfat Emet actually explains the Gemara that way, and says what the Gemara did here was reconcile everything, when it says, Sabrak Rabbi Natan, which is that the Mizbeach of Nechoshet of Moshe was filled by Avanim, and that's how you can now reconcile between all the Braitot. But given the flow of the Gemara, that says, Rav Huna Sover Rabbi Natan, that indicates that it was a different Mizbeach, or a different type of Mizbeach that was there. So even though it was a Mizbeach Nechoshet filled with stones, it wasn't the same Mizbeach Nechoshet of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what Rav Huna is relying on that Tana, meaning Rabbi Natan, as well as Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, that the Mizbeach in Mishkan Shiloh was no longer the Mizbeach Nechoshet, not like what it says in Seder Olam Rabba, that the Mizbeach Nechoshet Moshe continues to be in service until the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my lo nistalka. Maybe you misunderstood what it said in Seder Olam Rabba. Seder Olam Rabba says, lo nistalka, the fire didn't leave the Mizbeach and the Choshet. Lo nistalka levatala. It did not end. It did not stop. So he says that the fire was not stopped from the Mizbeach and Choshet in totality. Doesn't mean that it didn't leave it or something else had happened. Mahi. What does that mean? That it used to send out sparks or fire from it, as Rashi describes over here. When they used to use the Mizbeach Avanim, there were sparks and flames. And he says, because it also was present over there. So the suggestion being that in the time of Shiloh, it was both the Mizbeach and the Choshet and the Mizbeach Avanim, and that would solve your problem. Now you can reconcile between the Braitot and say that both are true. There was a Mizbeach Avanim. There's also a Mizbeach and the Choshet. The fire stayed on the Mizbeach and the Choshet. Every time the Korban needed to be consumed on the Mizbeach Avanim, the Mizbech and Nechoshet lent the fire, basically, to the Mizbech of Anim and consumed it. Rav Amar, Ushpiza Habanakot. It hosted it. Bezimnin Hocha, Bezimnin Hocha. Sometimes it was on the Mizbech and Nechoshet. Sometimes it was on the Mizbech of Anim. Both assume that there was a presence of a Mizbech of Anim and a Mizbech Nechoshet in Shiloh. So there is a Mizbech of Anim in Shiloh. But it also says that there was a Mizbech Nechoshet. And Lo Nistalka Ha'esh means that either the Mizbech Nechoshet continued to have fire that was lent to the Mizbech of Anim, or that the fire moved back and forth between the Mizbech Nechoshet and the Mizbech of Anim. And Lo Nistalka means Lo Nistalka Legamre. It did not leave it completely. It was not completely batel from the Mizbech Nechoshet. And depending on which explanation, that would give meaning to what it means it wasn't wiped out completely. Either in the first explanation of the Rabbanan, it's there all the time, it just jumps onto the Mizbech of Anim, or according to Rav Papa, it moved back and forth between Mizbech and the Choshen and Mizbech of Anim, wherever it was needed, it sounds like, whichever Mizbech they were using. But in that way, you can have your cake and eat it too, which is that you can subscribe to the bright of Seder Olam Rabbah, that the fire never left the Mizbech and the Choshen until the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Also, you can have subscribed to Rav Huna's position, Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, that the Mizbech in Shiloh was a Mizbech of Anim. It's not Hotam. There's a Mishnah in Midot. Kisha alu b'nei gola, usif olav dalet amot min adarom, dalet amot min hamarav, k'min gemet. When they came up in the gola, meaning in Bayit Sheni, to build the Beit HaMikdash, they actually added on to the Mizbech an additional 4x4 amot. If you remember, we had the pictures the other day of the 3 Mizbechot. Within those 3 Mizbechot, you have the Mizbech of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have the Mizbech of the time of Shlomo HaMelech, and then you have the Mizbech of the Bnei Gola. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argued about the size of the Mizbech and the Choshet, whether the Maracha was 5x5, or was the Maracha 10x10. And then as we explained then, that also then expanded to include the Yisovev and Yisod, that depends on opinion. So that made the Mizbeach in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu either 14x14 or 9x9. He subscribed to Rabbi Yossi's position, then it was 9x9 Amot. Subscribed to Rabbi Yehuda's position, it was 14x14 Amot. And then the platform on the top was 10x10. Makom Maracha was 6x6. And then for Rabbi Yossi, it was 9x9 with the platform on the top being 5x5 and the Maracha being 1x1. And then in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, we discussed the fact that the top of the Mizbeach, the Makom HaMaracha, was 20x20. If you add on the Amma from the Makom Hilucha Kohanim, the Amma for the Karanot, the Amma for the Sovev, Amma for Yisod, that would lead you to have it be 28x28 Amot in total. And we know, we discussed already, that the Mizbeach in Bayit Sheni was 32x32 Amot. So if I take the Mizbeach of Shlomo 28x28, and I have the Mizbeach of Bayit Sheni be 32x32, that means they added on 4x4 Amot. They had on a strip of 4 Amot on each side that expanded the Mizbeach. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. K'min Ge'im. Ge'im is the Greek letter Gamma, which is described by Rashi as being a Kaf Pshuta Hapucha, which is a Kaf Sofit flipped backwards. So if you take a Kaf Sofit and just give the mirror image of it, so it goes to the right, the top of it, instead of to the left, that gives you a picture of a Gamma in the Greek letters. But basically what it's talking about is a right angle. Speaking about that they added on 4x4 amot in a corner, a right angle to expand it. And that expansion took place on the southern side and on the western side. Now, the Balei Tosafot bring the Rabbeinu Tam, who does not like this Girsa in the Gemara, because that presents a problem, as we discussed earlier, which is that the Mizbeach was along the borderline between Binyamin and Yehuda. And on that borderline, the reason there was no Yisod on the southern side and there was no Yisod on the eastern side was because that was area of Yehuda. So that would mean that if you expanded it 4 amot in that direction, that means that the Mizbeach would be sitting in the area of Yehuda. And so the Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by that. How could you expand to the south? The west is fine because that goes further in or deeper into Binyamin's area. But expanding on the southern side would have overrun the area of Yehuda. And so then, how do you explain that, given the fact that the Yisod was missing because of that? So the Rabbeinu Tam wants to change the Girsa to be Tzafon and Marav, that is expanded on the northwestern corner, not on the southwestern corner, in order that the expansion all took place into the areas of Binyamin, and then would not present the problem with regards to the Yisod. The solution to the problem, in which the Baal Tosafot put in the end bring, because they bring evidence to the fact that it was in the southwestern corner, it's very hard to read otherwise, based on the continuation of the Gemara, is that in Bayit Rishon, the Yisod might have been different. And that is, in Bayit Sheni, there was no Yisod on the southern side, no Yisod along the eastern side. But in Bayit Rishon, and if you look back at the pictures that I've sent out in the past, I'll send them out again tomorrow, I showed in the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech that there was a Yisod on the southern side for the Mizbeach of Shlomo, because in the time of Shlomo, the southern side did not reach the area of Yehuda. It was still in the area of Binyamin. And therefore, they could have a Yisod on the southern side. Later on, when they expanded it for Amot on the southern side, that's when it hit the area of Yehuda. And in heading the area of Yehuda, they dropped the Yisod on the southern side. But that means that in Bayit Rishon, there was a Yisod on the southern side, not on the eastern side, because that was up against Yehuda. But in Bayit Sheni, when they expanded the southern side, and then it bumped into that, either that strip of Yehuda, or that's where Yehuda's area was completely, then they had to drop the Yisod on the southern side. The only problem with that is, the psukim that we bring in Ezu Mekoman, that we brought back on Daf Nun Gimel, where we said that there was no Yisod on those areas. So then, how can you bring psukim? If it's only true in Bayit Sheni, it's not true in Bayit Rishon. So the Bayit Tosafot say, Eino Chanami, either the psukim are only speaking to Bayit Sheni, Inami, Apa Bayit Rishon Lo Chashim Keren Dromit Keren, even in the Bayit Sheni, the Keren Dromit was not considered a Keren, Keren Delo Avala Yisod Mishnei Tzadim, because it did not reach out on both sides, Gagon Bitzad Mizrach. So if you look at the picture, even when I added in a Yisod on the southern side, it's different than the other locations. For instance, if you look on the northern side, where it continues onto the east, it turns the corner and has a little bit of an edge to it going around the corner. On the southern side, it ends completely and does not go onto the eastern side at all. Because of that, it's classified as if it doesn't have Yisod, because it has a Yisod that continues to both ends. But that would be an explanation of why, even though there was a Yisod on the southern side, it's considered as if there wasn't a Yisod on the southern side during Bayit Rishon. Inami, the fisha yatid diot below Yisod b'Bayit Sheni. Or the third answer the Baal HaTos will give is, since in the future Bayit Sheni would not have Yisod, lo yanutnin damim bo. So even though it was there physically, the binyan or the Yisod was there on the southern side, they did not use it because they knew in the future that it would not be used or there would be no Yisod on the southern side. So they did all of the matnot dam in the areas where in the future there would also be a Yisod. Kamo b'mizbeach shel Moshe. Like Mizbech Moshe, which has Yisod, according to Rashi, going all the way around on all four sides. The pictures also that I showed you here, there's Yisod completely around the Mizbech HaNechoshet. And even though there was a completely around, they only used the southwestern corner, despite the fact that they could have used anywhere else. With the knowledge that in the future, it would not have a Mizbech with Yisod all the way around. And so, based on that, both in the Mizbech HaNechoshet, the Mizbech of Shlomo Melech, despite the fact that they had a Yisod on the southern side, they didn't use it because they knew by the time they got to Bayit Sheni, there would be no Yisod on the southern side. It's interesting, both historically, as well as what the Mizbeach Nechosha and the Mizbeach of Shlomo Melech looked like with regards to the Yisod, and that is based on this question of the Rabbeinu Tam, how could you expand to the southwestern side when that area is the area of Yehuda? And then what are the implications for that with regards to the Mizbeach in Bayit Rishon? My time up. What's the reason they expanded the Mizbeach on the southwestern end 4x4 Amot? What precipitated that? So Amar Rav Yosef Mishom Delo Sipek. It wasn't sufficient. They needed a bigger Mizbeach. The Mizbeach in the time of Shlomo wasn't big enough for them when they came up in the time of Ezra. Amar Abaye, Hashta Mikdash Rishon Dichtiv Bei. Perek Dalet, it says about the time of Shlomo Melech, Yehuda V'Yisrael Rabim Kachol Asher Al Hayam Larov Ochlim V'Shotim Usmechim. And then it begins the next parak. Shlomo haya Moshe b'chol mamlechot minar eretz plishtim ad gvul Mitzrayim magishim mincha b'obdim et Shlomo kol mei chayav. So here you have the description of the number of Jews in Eretz Yisrael at the time, Yehuda Yisrael, rabim kechol asher hayam, like the sand on the beach of the ocean. They have no enumeration. It's so large. There's so many people. That's at the time of Shlomo Melech. And we would assume that commensurate with the population would be the usage of the Mizbeach. And as you correctly noted, we saw yesterday that there were 142,000 korbanot brought on a single day, but possibly were used on the Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Mizbeach wasn't big enough. They needed to use the Ezra as well. But nevertheless, it seems like this Mizbeach had plenty of room for everything. Why do they now need to expand it in the time of Beit Sheni, when the Pasuk describes the population of the Jews at that time, when it had that number of Jews, Sipek, Mikdash Sheni, Tichtiv Bei, in the time of Beit Sheni, where it says in Ezra, the number of people that are Oleh La'aretz, the Elu Bnei Amidina, Olim Mishviya Gola, Asher Eglai Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel, the Babel, V'yashuvu L'Yerushalayim Yehuda Ish L'Yiro. So these are the people that came back, Asher Bo Im Zru Babel, they go back up to Eretz Yisrael with Zru Babel, and then it enumerates the families and the number of people that came from each family. And then it says, Kol Kahal Keachat Arbari Bo Alpaim Shlosh Meot Vishishim. They all come up like one group. 40,000 Alpaim is two, is 42,000. Shlosh Meot Vishishim, 360. They have 42,360 people versus Kechol Hayam. So, how do you even have a comparison? If it's sufficient at the time of Shlomo Melech, given that population, how could you think that at the time of Ezra, it would not be sufficient? Amalei, Rav Yosef responds to his Talmud Abaye, who's challenging this statement of Rav Yosef, Hotam Eish Shoshamayim Misayatan. In the time of Bayit Mishon, the Eish was Yorei Minashamayim, that's what we were speaking about before. There was an Eish Tamid on the Mizbeach. Therefore, he consumed the Korbanot at a much faster pace, and there it could keep up with the volume. Halka in Eish Shoshamayim Misayatan. In Bayit Sheni, one of the things that was missing when they built the Bayit Sheni, there's a list of them in the Gemara Yoma, but there it says the Eish Tamid was not there. The Eish Min HaShemayim wasn't there in Bayit Sheni. And even if it was there in Bayit Sheni, it didn't consume the Korbanot. So therefore you have a process that requires much more effort in order to consume the Korbanot. You need a bigger area or a bigger pyre in order to consume the Korbanot when you don't have the Eish HaShemayim assisting you. Kiyata Rabin Amrim Shim Pazi Mishum Bar Kapara Shitin Hosifu. They added in the Shitin. The Shitin is an area that descends to the depths. It's a cave of sorts, an opening that goes down. It is possibly connected to the Midrashim that speak about David HaMelech, when he was beginning to dig the foundations of Mikdash, hits the Cheres that is covering up the Shitim, which are the depths or the water of the depths, and it starts to flood the world. And the story with him and Achitov over there we saw in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So it's associated with the Shitin or the depths that are below. But there is a hole in the ground, there is a cave of sorts that exists there, from which the liquids would descend. Where they went, depend on what you really think the Shitin is, might have to do with the view that the Shitin are from the piping that came off the Mizbeach for the libations, or it might have to do with the Sharei Adam that were poured there on the southwestern corner that went down there. That's the view of the Rambam, that's mentioned in the Mishnayot and Midot, versus what's mentioned in the Mishnah in Sukkah, which is Mikavar Sarvor. In the beginning they thought Mizbeach Adama. They thought it had to be a Mizbeach Adama, as was mentioned in the Pasuk. It has to be a Mizbeach that is on the ground. Shuatum Ba'adama. That it be filled and not hollow on the inside. That it's sealed into the ground. It's Mechubar the Karka and totally filled. So based on that, they wanted to keep it completely sealed underneath. And they didn't want to have the Mizbeach cover over the Shitin, which was an opening or some sort of descent that went below the Mizbeach. So over there, they didn't build the Mizbeach in Bayit Bishon. Ublasov Sabor, Shtiak Achila. And then they thought that the driving factor here should be that drinking is no different than eating. So now my Mizbeach Adama, according to that view that they're now covering over the Shitim. So now that you're saying that it doesn't mean a tomb because there is a hollow space underneath, how do you explain Mizbeach Adama in the Pasuk? It's connected or attached to the ground. Not that it has to be filled and not hollow at all, but rather it has to be mechubar the karka. That is attached to the ground. It is a structure that sits on the ground itself. This is what we saw quoted earlier, that you're not allowed to build the mizbeach adama on top of a archway or on top of a hollow space or a tunnel. It has to be firmly affixed to the ground in an area with nothing empty underneath it. In Bayit Sheni, they decided to expand the Mizbeach and cover up the Shitim. So now you have the Mizbeach over the Shitim. First of all, how do you get over the problem that it's on top of the shittim? You can see here that the Bali Tosfot on the top of Samach Bet say, Bor shel shittim lo ya chashuv mechila. That that bor of the shittim was not considered to be a tunnel or an empty space. Kevin du tzorech mizbeach. Because it was necessary for the functioning of the mizbeach. Therefore, it's not considered to be that the mizbeach is not on the ground, even though there's a hollow space or a tunnel or some sort of opening that's there below the mizbeach. Mishnah on Daf Samach Gimel is going to explain to us that they used that southwestern corner for the nisachim. And then you have to explain that what happened in the time of Shlomo Melech. So here Rashi describes what he thinks took place during the time of Shlomo Melech. Ubimei Shlomo, hayak min bor karuy etzel mizbeach. There was this pit, this descent that was next to the mizbeach. Oto zavit, on the southwestern corner. Lereda nisachim bitocho. So when they used to pour the nisachim on the mizbeach, they would flow, yordim in a mizbeach, they would flow off the mizbeach la ritzpa, onto the ground of the azara, vishotatim sham, and then they would drip down into the bor that was outside the mizbeach. Fame kaltu to a bor, the tocha mizbeach. In the time of Bayit Sheni, instead of leaving the bor outside the mizbeach, they subsumed it within the mizbeach. And then they made two pipings at the top of the mizbeach on the southwestern corner. They raid and isachim sham, so the libation should flow down from the mizbeach into the shittim. This is what's described in the Gemara and Sukkah. There were two pipes there, one for the nisuch hayayin and one for the nisuch hamayim, and they were different sizes depending on the viscosity of the wine versus the water. So they would flow down at the same pace and descend to the shittim. If you poured at the same time, they would descend simultaneously down into the shittim. But that piping went straight down to the shittim. So instead of flowing off the mizbeach onto the ground and then into the bor, they had piping that took it directly down. That's the view of Rashi. That's the view of the Gemara and Sukkah. The Rambam again quotes based on the Mishnah Midot, where it never mentions the piping on the southwestern corner on the top, but rather mentions the piping on the southwestern corner on the Yisod, which was for the Yishari Adam. The Gemara and Sukkah describes that the young Kohanim, once every 70 years, used to go down and clean out the Shittim from all the coagulated wine that had gone down there that didn't flow down, but it stopped or got caught on the corner, so they used to clean it out once every 70 years or so. But now you have an explanation for the expansion. First of all, the necessity for a larger framed mizbeach is because of the fact that there was no Esh Misayatan. Number two is they had a drosha that compelled them to do it. They originally thought mizbeach adamah means it has to be sitting on firm ground, and therefore the shittin was not appropriate to put under the mizbeach. Later on, they doresh that shtiyak achila, just like the achilat mizbeach takes place on the mizbeach itself, so do the shtiyat mizbeach. The drink in the mizbeach should take care of flow from the mizbeach itself and disappear down below, and shouldn't exit the mizbeach to go out to the shittin. So they subsume the shittin inside the mizbeach. When they poured the libations, it went straight to the shittin from the mizbeach without it going out. The problem with that is, what were they thinking in the time of Shlomo HaMelech? If that's the drosha, why didn't they invoke the same drosha in the time of Shlomo HaMelech and have the libations go down to the shittin straight and not have to go off the mizbeach to the floor and then drip into the shittin? So the Sfat Emet over here speculates that possibly during Bayit Rishon, based on the Midrashim, the fire that descended from Shemayim was melach lech. It swallowed up or consumed both the korbanot on the mizbeach as well as the liquids that were poured as libations. And so therefore they really didn't need to drain the nisachim down and off the mizbeach because of the fact that they were consumed most times by the fire. Whatever little went off would drip down into the shittin. Bayit Sheni, where they don't have that fire, the libations present a serious issue. If you're going to pour them, that they need to be consumed on the mizbeach. In time of Shlomo, they were consumed on the mizbeach by the fire. But now they needed it to be consumed on the mizbeach by subsuming the shittin in the mizbeach. And that's why they expand to the southwestern corner in order to bring in the shittin. And that's what compels Tosafot to disagree with Rabbeinu Tam's view here that the expansion was to the northwest rather than the southwest, because the southwest is where the shittin are found. And so that makes sense that they expanded the mizbeach there to the southwest to cover up to subsume the shittin within the mizbeach. And so now, as Rashi points out, Rav Yosef is making a point with regards to the Braita, and we know that Rav Yosef fell ill in the middle of his life and forgot much of his learning. And then when he was learning again, he says something, and then he remembers, didn't I say just the opposite? Or didn't I say something different? Rav Yosef here says, Rav Yosef, Lain Hainu D'Tanyo, Isn't that what we see in the Braita? And therefore over here, Rabbi Yosef is saying, is the reason that they had to expand the Mizbeach because of the fact that there was no Eish Min HaShemayim? Isn't the source for the fact that they expanded the Mizbeach, source out of this Braita, from the interpretation of the Pasuk in Ezra, when they were preparing the Mizbeach, it says, Vayakam Yeshua ben Yotzadak v'chav ha-konim Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel v'chav v'yibnu et Mizbeach Elokei Yisrael alot alav alot k'chatub Torat Moshe Yishalukim v'yachinu ha-mizbeach ha-mechonotav. They've set up the Mizbeach on its measurements in its location. Ki be'im alehem me'amei ha-ratzot v'yelu alav alot l'ashem alot l'boker v'la'aref, started up the Korban HaTamid that has been placed on the Mizbeach. So you see over here, it says, Ve'yachinu ha-mizbeach ha-mechonotav, that they got the Mizbeach in its proper measurements, its proper location. Shigil l'sof midotav, they reached the proper dimensions of the Mizbeach, which means, according to Rabbi Yosef, this expansion or this added on piece, that's what it means, they got to the proper dimensions. Vaktiv, wait a minute, doesn't it say in Divrei Yamim, with Perchav Chet, and Pasuk Yidalev, it says, Ve'yitein David Shmo b'no Tavnit Olam, Vet Batav, Big Ganzaka, Valiota, Vechadara, Vapnimi, Mubeta Kaporet, and so on and so forth, until it reaches the end there in Pasuk Yutet, where it says, Akol Bichtav Yad Hashem, Alai Hiskil, Komalachot Tavnit. So all the blueprints were given to him by Hashem, by Nevuah, and one cannot deviate from that, and that's what we always say, that you need a Mesorah, and you have exact measurements about how something is constructed in Mikdash based on the blueprints, the time of David HaMelech. And therefore, how could you come all of a sudden and bayit sheni and decide that you're going to change that which is in the blueprints or governed by the instructions that are given to David HaMelech that he's passing to Shlomo with regards to the building of the Mikdash and the placement and size of the Mizbeach? Elam Rabbi Yosef, Kra Ashkach V'Dorosh. They found a pasuk and they were dorish. So in Divrei Yamim Aleph, Perek Chafet, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Yomer David, Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim, V'zeh Mizbeach Le'ola L'Yisrael. And that is in the description that speaks about David HaMelech's bringing together all the raw materials for the building of the Beit HaMikdash, which is later carried out by Shlomo. And in that description, it speaks about the Beit Hashem Elokim, V'zeh Mizbeach Le'ola L'Yisrael. So there's a parallel between the Mizbeach and the Beit Hashem, and that gives us this Hekesh that is noted by Rabbi Yosef. Hello, Rabbi Yosef, Krash, Kach, Medorosh. They were Doresh the Pasuk in the following manner, which is, Ki Bayit. There's a parallel or a Hekesh between the Bayit and the Mizbeach. Ma Bayit Shishimama, which is the length of the Heichal. Av Mizbeach Shishimama. Just like the Heichal was 60 Amot, so too the Mizbeach was 60 Amot, meaning that you had a large expanse to use. The blueprint offered a much larger area. And then Rashi tells us, and Shlomo didn't understand what it meant, 60 amot. They were dorish and added on. They didn't need to go to the full expanse of the 60 amot. They're meaning the command, because we said later on that the size of the Mizbeach, that means its length, its width, and its height, are not ma'akev the Mizbeach. The only thing that's ma'akev, it has to be squared out. But what it did offer you was the opportunity to expand it, which was embedded in the original blueprints. The original blueprints say that the footprint of the Mizbeach can be up to 60 amot. Solomelch didn't really realize that, so he left the Shittim out, thinking that the Mizbeach was that size. And then later on, Olea Gola expanded the Mizbeach to be 32 by 32, because they read the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, giving permission to expand the Mizbeach up to 60 amot. They didn't need 60 amot, so they went to 32 by 32, which was necessary in their time to consume or take the volume of korbanot that were going in the Mizbeach. So you see the reason that they didn't do this in the time of Shlomo Melech had nothing to do with size or necessity, but rather that they weren't doresh the Pesukim in that manner. Right, we're going to stop here, 7 lines down on the top of Samach Bet Amud Aleph.